Live from Hollywood, California, it's The Rick Savage Show.
It is The Rick Savage Show. I'm your host, Rick Savage. On the road edition. Coming to you from the 10 eastbound outside of Los Angeles. I don't even know what town I'm in, but I did just pass a Sears. If you remember a couple episodes ago, I just randomly said, should I go to Sears? So I was like, oh, there's the Sears. I should go see if they sell any Sears t-shirts. Because, you know, RIP Toys R Us, I think I should have went and bought a Toys R Us t-shirt. I don't even know if Toys R Us would have a Toys R Us t-shirt. I'm sure Sears wouldn't have a Sears t-shirt. So I grabbed my bag with all my little recording goodies, and I was like, oh, I'll take my GoPro, and I'll go film in the Sears. And, of course, I left my GoPro at my house. I have this whole little bag, and it's got my chargers and the little mic stand and this little microphone I'm talking into now, and it's got the light for my GoPro, and it's got the mini tripod for the GoPro. But guess what it doesn't have? The actual GoPro. And yeah, I could have filmed with my iPhone, but that's not the same. It's fine. Y'all know what a Sears looks like. I don't think you need to see the inside of it. But it might have been good content. You gotta do it for the content. So, I'm on the road. Wow, my voice sounds like it's quivering. But it's because of the vibrations of the 10. It's not a smooth freeway. I almost died on this freeway once. Back when I had a motorcycle. I miss having a motorcycle, but I'm also happy I don't own one anymore. I remember a buddy of mine gave me a piece of advice when I bought a bike. He said, just pretend that you're invisible, but you can still get hit. So no one can see you, but very easily you could die. And I had a couple close calls. And one, this won't make any sense, but real quick. On the 10 east and west, it's just always under construction, especially once you get outside of LA. I see a sign for the 57. So you know where the 10, 57 is? I'm out there. And there's these kind of wide, it's like clearly where a piece of concrete was reinstalled. It's not the lane dividers where the reflectors are. It's actually like, in addition to that, there's another like gap in the street. And sometimes they get pretty wide and your motorcycle tire isn't that wide and things could go haywire. So I remember I was driving back, I guess I was on the 10 West, but I was coming back from Las Vegas on my motorcycle after an epic trip around the West Coast. And it got a little squirrely, but I didn't lay it down, and I made it, and I never crashed the bike. The only time the bike was on its side was when I parked it on the street in West Hollywood, and some asshole knocked it over. I used to live right by Barney's Beanery, and I guarantee someone was drunk. I don't want to say it was a girl. I don't want to assume, but like it was someone named Becky, I'm sure. And was taking a photo. This is before Instagram, but maybe taking a Facebook photo. And my bike, I came out the next morning, was on its side. Maybe someone was just an asshole and pushed it over, but I think people like to pose on motorcycles. Is that where the term poser comes from? Because you're posing as something? Yeah, that's kind of obvious, huh? You know, some things I don't need to reveal on the podcast, but we can learn together. We can learn that poser obviously comes from posing as something. Oh, I'm driving by a bus. Gonna get loud. Sorry. You know, people say sometimes this podcast feels like you're with a friend. Just chatting. And that's what's happening right now. Just we're on a road trip. So anyway, so my apartment repairs are almost done, thankfully, and they're in there today doing drywall. And I figured I would just leave because I've been there a lot when they're there. I've become really good friends with the construction worker guys. One of them, I think, saw me crying to Parks and Recreation. Not crying, just kind of like, just like some teary-eyed moments. If you've never watched Parks and Recreation, turn off this podcast and just watch Parks and Rec. I think it's one of the greatest comedies ever because, look, I know Seinfeld and Cheers and The Cosby Show or whatever are better shows, but the sweet factor, the feel-good factor, the inspirational factor that comes from Parks and Rec, I don't know if other comedies have ever accomplished that before. It really is it's a feel-good show, but also, like, you feel like you want to make a difference or do something in your community, or I don't know. It's just a great, great show. And so a couple times a season, there's moments that chokes me up. There's a very sweet moment between Ron Swanson and Leslie Knope. No spoilers, but it's in season 7. If you know what it is, then you probably agree. And it got me. I got a little, like, teary-eyed. And then this dude walks in with a giant bag of concrete. And he's like, "What's up, man?" And I'm like, "Oh, hey, what's up? What's up? Just checking out this. Okay, yeah, we'll just go upstairs. You can do the patio concrete up there because that's where the concrete goes probably. All right, well, let me know if you need any help because I'm a man too." That's how it went. So because of that, my original plan was to go to Las Vegas and see the Michael Jackson show. Because as we all assumed, there's already articles and petitions to stop that show. And I guess what happened was people saw that those petitions and all the tickets are sold out now. So I can't even go this weekend. But I wanted to go see the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show. I don't know how to feel about Michael. The documentary was terrible. And I obviously believe those guys. But I never saw Michael live, so I want to see the Cirque du Soleil show before it's gone forever. But that show is sold out, so I'm doing the next best thing. I'm driving to San Manuel Casino, because I've never been there before. I was going to go to Morongo. That's also sold out this weekend. San Manuel Casino is only like an hour and a half outside of L.A., and there's an Eagles cover band there tonight. So that's the same, right, as a Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson show? Is an Eagles cover band based in Riverside or wherever I'm going? I really just wanted to go to a casino. I figured I'd go play cards. And I wanted to go on a little mini road trip. I didn't want to just go down to Commerce or something in LA. And Morongo, if I was going to drive all the way to Morongo, I'd probably just spend the night. But the hotel is sold out. Plus, the outlets are right there. And I always spend a lot of money when I'm at those outlets. So go to San Manuel. I was looking at their website. Got a nice little poker room. Great. It's easy. And there's an Eagles cover band.
Listen, here's the thing. If you can't spot the sucker in your first half hour at the table, then you are the sucker. See, I learned how to win a little at a time. But finally, I've learned this. If you're too careful, your whole life can become a fucking grind.
Poker's a weird thing, man. I used to have a little more confidence, I think. And I think in anything you do, confidence is pretty important. You know, act as if. Isn't that from, is that from from Boiler Room? I think it's Boiler Room. I always confuse Boiler Room and Glengarry Glenn Ross for amazing quotes. But I think act as if was a Ben Affleck thing. You got to act like you've been there before. And I lost some money just now. Well, not just now. I'm recording this later. But the casino trip was not amazing. We'll say that. First off, San Manuel Casino. Beautiful. A lot of smoke, though. I feel like the... Are we allowed to call them Indian casinos, by the way? Let's start there. Because I feel like Indian casinos is the casual name for reservation-based gambling. But obviously, it's Native American. It's not Indians. So let's say the Native American casino, San Manuel,
is much nicer than a lot of the other casinos in Southern California, and much cleaner, and the games are newer, and the staff is nicer, but they do allow smoking. And I feel like they still have that backwards. I feel like the way San Manuel is set up, you've got smoking everywhere, and then some non-smoking rooms, like high-stakes rooms and non-smoking. And I think it should be flipped. It should be like no smoking everywhere, but if you do want to gamble and smoke, here's this corner area. Besides that, it's great. I lost a couple hundred bucks. I played terribly. And I was never like a good poker player. I think a few people can vouch for that are listening to this. I was all right. I don't think I paid enough attention to the math. I don't think I was ever aggressive enough. You know, but I did okay. I remember I won one tournament at Binion's in Vegas. It was like a four-table tournament, but I still won it, so that was cool. I placed in a couple others. I did okay from time to time, but, you know, I don't play that much anymore, so out of practice and called away a lot of chips and then lost. I had kings, he had aces, and that was it. I will say the maturity factor, I think, you know, I got up and walked away. I was going to buy more chips, and I thought, you know what? This is not my table. I didn't like the guys I was playing with, too. And I'm okay losing money at a poker table. Maybe fundamentally that's the problem with how I play cards. But I like to look at it as the experience. You know, if I have to pay 25 bucks an hour to like hang out and bullshit and throw chips around and, you know, have a cocktail like a gentleman, that's worth it. I lost more than $25 an hour for the record. But I think that's the wrong mentality. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'll be back. Also, San Manuel doesn't... Oh, so, okay. So let me catch you up on what happened after all that. So if you follow my Instagram, I mean, there's good content there. Maybe you don't use Instagram. That's fine. If you do, you should follow me at Rick Savage. So drove out to San Manuel. I thought there was a hotel there, but there's not. And the one thing that did bum me out is the surrounding area of San Manuel Casino is pretty run down. It was a lot of like pawn shops and liquor stores and gun stores and fast food, like the shitty fast food. It's not that great. And then you turn up the street to go back to San Manuel, and then you just start passing these beautiful mansions, like multi-million dollar homes. And then the casino is beautiful. And it just feels like there's a disconnect there. It's a little strange that that's legal. Like, we know gambling is an addiction for a lot of people. And then we surround gambling establishments where you can pawn off anything or drown your sorrows in a bottle of Jack Daniels or buy a gun. I didn't love it. So anyway, so... before I left, I was going to go to the buffet, but the buffet at the casino was, I don't know, a two-hour wait. I showed a video of it on Instagram. You know, if you know one thing about Rick Savage likes his buffets. So I was planning on going in at the casino, but that didn't work because I didn't want to wait 2 hours. And then I realized that there's a Long John Silver's close to this casino, back to shitty fast food. And there's not really any Long John Silver's in Los Angeles anymore. There used to be one down by LAX that I would make the drive to, but that's long gone. So I posted on my Instagram story, I said, well, should I go to a buffet? Should I go to Long John Silver's? The buffet won, but the buffet was too long of a line. So I was like, okay, we'll go to Long John Silver's. And I drive to Long John Silver's, and it's closed. And it looked recently closed. Like, the sign was still the new logo, if you're familiar with with Long John Silver's branding. It was still the new logo, but the door was literally boarded up. Like, the door had been replaced with plywood. Real sketchy. And there was a cop in the parking lot. So who knows what goes on in that parking lot now. So then I had already, you know, driven 15 minutes away from San Manuel Casino, so I wasn't going to go back. So I drove into LA, and then I remembered King's Buffet on Western is where it's at. So then I had dinner at King's Buffet. It's like a seafood / sushi / Chinese food buffet. It's incredible. It's like $25, all you can eat. And And I hadn't eaten. Here's my new diet plan, is just not eating all day and then having one big meal. I think that's not healthy, but that's what I did. So just all the MSG available, I just piled onto a plate and went to town. Here's where the night gets interesting, if that wasn't enough. So after all that, casino, Long John Silver, buffet, King Buffet, losing money, depression around casino areas. I get home around, let's say, 10 o'clock. And I'm playing on Instagram. And Hollywood Improv throws up an IG story. And it says, tonight, 11:30, smoking comedian, no phones, can't tell you who the comedian is, swipe up to buy. And when I swiped up, they were $50 tickets. So instantly, I thought Dave Chappelle. Because I don't know if there's any other comic out right now that could command $50 a pop unannounced without telling you their name. I mean, there's certainly, of course, comedians. If Ellen DeGeneres went on tour, her tickets would be $50 a pop. But she's not going to show up unannounced at the Improv at midnight on a Friday. If she did, I would absolutely go, for the record. Chris Rock could do that, but I don't think he's working on anything right now. At least not on the West Coast, because he did his special not that long ago. Aziz Ansari has been doing kind of unannounced shows, but I don't think he could demand $50. And Louis could have done it before Louis, you know, all that stuff happened. Louis can't do that now. Can't do an unannounced Louis show. Someone buys a ticket to a show and Louis is there and they didn't know. That ends up in a think piece on the Huffington Post. So I assume it's Dave Chappelle. So I buy a ticket. Why not? The girlfriend's out of town. I just had an amazing day full of buffet food. I'll go over to the Improv and see who this is. It'd be a cool experience. The doors are supposed to be at 11. I showed up at like 10:55, and there was no line out front. So I assumed I was late. I assumed that everyone had already been let in. So I go up to the box office, and I go, oh, I'm here for the show. And she goes, oh, the 11:30? And I go, yeah. And she goes, oh, here's your wristband. You can go grab a drink inside or just wait, and start a line. And I was like, wait, no one's here yet? She said, no. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm the first one? Cool. I'm going to stand in line. So quickly thereafter, a bunch of other people start showing up. It's in the lab, which is the small room at the Hollywood Improv. Fits maybe 70 people. One of the guys that works there described it as a living room. Like, it's really not a good venue for comedy. And they built this weird, huge bar. Like, half the room is taken up by this giant bar that's not necessary. It's a weird room for a comedy show, but I'm all in on a weird Chappelle experience. So long story short, they come out, they tell us, you know, we have to lock up our phones in these yonder bags, which is great because then no one's distracted, no one's recording, it's perfect. So we go and we sit down, and I'm in the front row, kind of on stage left, I guess, and so close I could reach out and touch Dave Chappelle. Like 3 feet from me? I don't know. Neil Brennan comes out, opens the show, does 15 minutes, he was great. And then Dave Chappelle comes out and he does about an hour and a half and he's bombed. He had just flown in. I think he was here actually for Chance the Rapper's wedding based on Instagram posts. Hammered. I think he was just kind of, you know, he's one of these guys that can just talk and it's funny. And for the record, every time you see a comedian and you think like, oh, that's so, they're so casual and everything is improv and off the cuff. Not really. Not really. Like, if you're seeing a comedian at a theater show or at a big comedy club and they're doing an hour, they wrote a lot of that. That's a lot of hard work. That's not just, kind of rambling into something funny. Now, the opposite of that is Dave when he's bombed at 1 a.m. on a Friday. I won't spoil anything in case you get a chance to see him. But, you know, he talked a lot about the Michael Jackson documentary and his struggles with that. He talked about R. Kelly. He talked about Jesse Smollett, who he kept calling Juicy Smollett, which is now that guy's name. His name is now Juicy Smollett. Talked about the Me Too movement. And I'm not even going to try to repeat any of it because it won't be funny for me. But what I do like with him and Bill Burr and Andrew Santino and a lot of these guys, they say something that on paper would be offensive. And then they talk it back and either prove their point or make it funny. And I think that's such an amazing thing that a good comic, it must be how they challenge themselves, right? It's like they could go out and just do bullshit about, you know, what happened at the coffee shop today. But if they come out and say that there's something wrong with the Me Too movement, and then the whole crowd pulls back and is like, wait, what? And then they prove their point in a funny way. That's pretty interesting. So Chappelle did a lot of that stuff for about an hour and a half. And then, God, it must have been 1 a.m. His buddy, assistant, friend came up and whispered something in his ear. Then Dave says, okay, I'll just do one more. And I was like, oh, I guess he's going to do one more joke, and that's the end of the night. So it is one more joke, and everyone's kind of thinking the night's wrapping up. He kind of pauses and looks to the back of the room, and he goes, hey, is John here? And then you hear this voice go, yeah, I'm here. And then Dave goes, all right, everybody, give it up for my good friend John Mayer. What? So then John Mayer comes up with Dave and takes a mic. No guitar or anything. They're buddies. They've been doing these shows together for a long time. So then for another hour and a half, they just went back and forth and talked about... it was interesting because John kind of played the role of us as the audience. You know, Dave said some stuff about Michael Jackson and the documentary. So then John Mayer was kind of the devil's advocate, right? And so they went back and forth another hour. We got out at like 3 a.m. It was like 2:45. It was so late that Dave wanted to buy drinks for some of the guys in the front row, and not me, but on the other side, which would have been nice. So many weird parts to this story. Anyway, so Dave wanted to buy some drinks for some guys, but it was after 2 a.m. So the improv was like, sorry, can't get rid of our liquor license because you want to buy a shot for some random kid in the front row. So they go till about 3 a.m. and wrap up and leave. And Dave is chain smoking the whole time. I think that's one of the workarounds for smoking inside of venues. If you're performing, you're allowed to smoke. So he was just chain smoking, like bumming cigarettes off people in the crowd, and people were bringing him packs. So at the end of the night, he says goodnight and thank you, and everyone standing ovation, and it's very sweet. And as we're walking out, the table right next to me was the one that Dave was leaving his empty boxes of cigarettes on. So I grabbed a box of Dave Chappelle's cigarettes. So that'll be my souvenir for the show, is a empty box of Native American. That's not what they're called. What are they called? It'd be a little weird if the cigarette was just straight up called Native American cigarettes. American Spirit. He was smoking American Spirits. So that was pretty crazy. And then I came home and went to sleep and slept for a long, long time because that was a long day. Well, that's a lot. We got through a lot together right there. Should we do Savage of the Week? Okay, let's do Savage of the Week.
They like savage, why you got a 12 car garage and you only got 6 cars? Something about you turns me to a savage.
Savage of the Week is kind of a feel-good one. Not an emotional story that'll make you cry. Although I did cried during the final episode of Shameless last night, or at least the season finale, where Fiona leaves the show. That's not a spoiler. That's been very public. Got a little emotional. I didn't think it would. And at the end of the show, when she walked away, I got a little teary-eyed. Anyways, that's not the Savage of the Week. The Savage of the Week is Dan Reynolds from the rock and roll band Imagine Dragons. Because Imagine Dragons has been the punchline for every band and every snarky journalist since they've been a band. And I'm not saying Imagine Dragons are the Beatles. And, you know, I've made Nickelback jokes before too, but I'll quickly defend Nickelback and that he's a very good songwriter. I just don't particularly care for his style of rock and roll music. And Imagine Dragons, kind of the same boat. Great songwriter. I always say, I might have said this before on the podcast, but just roll with me here, you know? If you could write a song and Kelly Clarkson can record it, or Green Day could record it, or Nickelback, that's a great song. Now, however that comes out in its final form with whatever band surrounding it, that's where your preference comes in. But this is why, since you've been gone, is always my example and some other friends' examples of one of the greatest songs of all time. It's just a great, great pop song. So I think that's where the guys in Imagine Dragons are, right? They're not respected. They're not the cool band. They're not the new Radiohead. But they're just good dudes that write good songs. And the singer of that band has finally had enough of everyone talking shit about his band. Bands like Slipknot and the 1975. Which, by the way, Slipknot? Really? Like, I'm not trying to start a war with metal kids, but Slipknot isn't exactly Metallica. You know what I mean? Slipknot, the guys that run around in scary clown masks. Okay. So Corey Taylor from Slipknot was talking shit in 1975, and finally Dan had enough, and he released a statement. This was like 2 weeks ago now, but I hadn't talked about it yet. He said, "For a decade now, I've dealt with critics and other bands saying extremely harsh things about my band. Not what I would call fair criticism, which I always try my best to receive and learn from, but actual clickbait horseshit. Words filled with vile and hate meant to feed humanity's need to laugh at each other's imperfections and fails. I've stood silently and taken it for years." He goes on and on. It's a very long statement. But then he finally just like straight up calls the guys. "I've gotten over the fact that guys in other bands, the 1975, Foster the People, Smashing Pumpkins, Slipknot, feel a need to talk badly about my band for whatever reason. I don't feel anger towards them, actually, just more of a sadness that this industry embraces, even celebrates this mentality." He goes on, and he says, "My bandmates are some of my best friends. We are authentically ourselves and strive to bring positivity and empowerment to the world. We'll continue to do just that. Love, DR." It's just so easy to pick on a band like Imagine Dragons. You know, he's a Mormon kid. They're safe. Their music is on every TV show and every football game promo, whatever. Shout out to Interscope Records, getting them all those placements. But he just seems like a good guy. He released that documentary trying to raise awareness how tough it is for Mormon kids to come out and how the church needs to do much better with how they handle and how they work with the LGBTQ community. He didn't have to do that. He's a very well-off rock star. But he put his money and time into doing something, you know, trying to do something good in the world. So he's Savage of the Week just because he seems like an awesome guy. And it was a little bit of a savage move to call out some of the bands that have called his band out. Fuck you, Billy Corgan. Fuck you, 1975. Ugh. God, I could talk shit about that band for sure. But I won't because I've tried to learn from Dan Reynolds because he's a Savage of the Week. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up. We're all over the place on this one. This is a multi-day recorded episode. There's been discussion of casinos and buffets and Dave Chappelle and Imagine Dragons. I mean, you want to talk about an all-over-the-place episode? There you go. If you haven't left a review, go ahead and click on over to iTunes. Leave a review. 5 stars, please. Follow me on social medias at Rick Savage. Check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RickSavage, KROQ. But I think we have enough subscribers to change the name finally, so we might do that soon. But either way, check that out. If you haven't watched the Hawaii video, oh boy, am I auditioning for the Travel Channel right now on the YouTube. There's a great video of my Hawaii first-timer tips, things you need to know the first time you go to Hawaii. It's a questionable list, but I think it came out pretty funny, so go check that out. Okay, have a great week. I'll talk to you in a few days. Okay, see you later. Bye.
This is the Rick Savage Show.